Words matter. Words are very important because words tell a story. Words communicate. And we gather here this morning in a big empty room, but no, we gather here this morning all across this area as believers. Words matter. Most of us think of a church-led worship service, a pastor-led church, however you want to put it, that the preacher studies the Bible, which is true. The pastor looks at the words of Scripture. That's a good thing. Pastor prays. The worship team practices, takes care of all those details. And it's almost as though we come away each and every week thinking that if I came in, sat in the pew, then I've done what I need to do. And it puts the pastor, it puts the worship team, it puts anyone who's helping the service move along. It almost is like we're performing. And that's not the case. Today is a perfect day to prove that point. Because the sermon, the message, the scriptures, we're going to look at them together. And the sermon, the preaching, if you will, is going to be a joint effort because each one of us, we are part of the sermon, part of the message, part of the worship experience today. It's bread and cup. We do this every once in a while. You could do it more often. Some churches do. Some of you come from a faith background where taking bread and cup, communion, Lord's Supper, however you want to put it, it's something that you did each and every time you gathered. Not a single thing in the world wrong with that. We have just chosen in our way of approaching things that yes, we need to do this and we need to do it ever so often. And every time we do what we're about to do today, we do to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The bread and the cup, the Lord's Supper, has its roots in the New Testament. It is, if you're putting it in the perspective of history, it is Thursday evening of the last week of Jesus' life. He's going to go to the cross on Friday morning. He'll be nailed to that cross at 9 a.m. He will come down from that cross, or he will be taken down from that cross, rather, at about 3 o'clock that Friday afternoon. But it's Thursday evening, and it's a high moment in Jewish life. It's the week of the Passover. It's the week when all the people converged upon Jerusalem. If any way possible, you left your responsibilities behind so that you could make the journey to the holy city and you could celebrate each and every day with the magnificent worship experiences that are grounded in the Old Testament. Passover, the biggest. Passover meal, huge, significant. It was that Thursday evening when Jesus sat down with his disciples and did what they did every year at this time. As a matter of fact, Jesus, no doubt, had taken the Passover ever since he was a young boy. So this was expected. It was planned for. The gathering of Jesus with his friends in an upper room was to celebrate the passing over. The passing over of death and of sin, looking all the way back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, when God set his people free from bondage to Egypt. It was very well planned out. Different parts of the meal were introduced by speeches, mini speeches, if you will, short sayings on behalf of the family that was gathered around the Passover elements, the Passover table. But by and large, the significance of this meal was that as you took each portion of what was given to you, as you drank the wine, as you remembered when God set the people free centuries before. Jesus did that. He should have. It's a very important event to remember. But then when the disciples were probably, for the most part, already thinking ahead, wondering, what do we do next? It was then that Jesus just held them there, asked them to sit back down, if you will. And it says that he took the bread that had already been used in the Passover celebration, and gave them the cup to drink once again, though they had already taken from the cup to remember various elements in the Old Testament story. And Jesus said, take this bread and take this cup and do this in remembrance of me. There are 5 instances in Scripture where this event is described. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that represents looking back several years after that Thursday evening of the last week of Jesus' life. Luke has 2 accounts. One that parallels Matthew and Mark, but the other is especially significant for us today. Let's take a moment and let's not just talk about it, but let's read the Word of God. I want to ask you to pay close attention. If you've got your own Bible open, great, but the passages that we print out on the screen, I want you to notice the words that are in bold font, that are italicized, that stand out. The first one is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do you notice those words that were highlighted? Let's look at the next passage, Mark 14. Same event, description of the same night. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And he said, take, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Then we turn to Luke, 22nd chapter, verses 19 and 20. A description of the same event, the same instructions that Jesus gave. Wording's a little bit different. It's no surprise. But pay attention to those words that are highlighted. When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them. And he said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, and he said, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all telling the same event, doing it in their own unique style. But did you notice that all 4 of them highlighted, all 4 of them described this event with the same basic, powerful words? We'll talk about them here and identify them specifically in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. It is years after the event that we just read. But notice how Paul describes what happened so many years before. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Totally different setting, different audience, written years after the event. But did you notice that Paul focused on those four words, those four actions? That Easter, first Easter Sunday morning, when Jesus conquered the grave and rose from the dead. You remember the New Testament writers have a lot to say about the hours of that first day, that first Sunday morning that we would call the first Easter morning. That afternoon, the Bible says that there were two people from a village called Emmaus, not far from Jerusalem. Cleopas is one of them, and it appears, most commentators would say, he was with his wife. So it's a husband and wife who were making their way from Jerusalem to their village of Emmaus. And along the way, they join up with a stranger, they think. It's found in Luke 24, verses 28 and following. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. The first Easter afternoon, a husband and wife journeying are joined by a stranger. No stranger. They were joined by the risen Lord, but they just didn't know it. They didn't see it. Not until Jesus. What did he do? He took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And he gave it. The same four ideas we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, and in the description of an amazing event in the life of a husband and wife who had been in Jerusalem for the great feast of the Passover, but whose entire world had been flipped up on its head when the news broke that the tomb was empty. We gather this morning in our homes. We gather this morning not to hear the preacher preach a message, but to feast upon God's word and to do what we've been commanded to do as we remember Jesus. I want you to take the elements that you have before you, whether it's a cracker or sandwich bread, juice, whatever it might be. And remember this, there is no magic. There is no power in these elements. Some would say, well, that goes without saying. Well, not necessarily. For there are some who taking very, very seriously what this act of worship means. In my opinion, they read into it things that perhaps are not there. That these elements don't turn into anything as we partake of them today. But they do internalize within our own heart and minds the events that have just been described. That Jesus willingly went to a cross, suffered, bled, and died, abused by the chief priests and the scribes, the mob of people. And he did that willingly. And so as we take these elements today, remembering that in the Passover celebration, it was all about the past. It was all about what happened centuries ago during the days of Moses. But for us today, it is not looking back at the past, though the past is important, but it's looking to the future. As Paul said in his version in 1 Corinthians 11 that we just read, that when we take of the bread and take of the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and his return is what he infers each and every time we take it. So what do? We proclaim the cross. We proclaim the resurrection. And we proclaim his eventual return. So with that in mind, let us preach the sermon, if you will. Let us worship through the elements of bread and cup. Based upon those four key actions, those four key words. So it says that Jesus took the bread. I hold this matzah cracker in my hands. As you hold your element, as you look at it, remember what the scripture says, that Jesus took the bread. It was his initiative. It was his idea. This was not the result of some relationship of a pagan meal. And there were plenty of those going around in the days of the New Testament. So this wasn't just any bread, but it was the bread. It was the action that Jesus took to change the meaning of the Passover into a celebration and a remembrance of his sacrifice in his eventual return. So Jesus took the bread. But it says Jesus blessed the bread. Does that mean he prayed over it? That's what it seems to imply. But more than just praying and giving thanks for bread, he was blessing its meaning. He was putting his stamp of approval on what was about to happen to him in the coming hours. A trip to a Garden of Gethsemane where he would pray and his friends couldn't stay awake long enough to pray with him. A future that would include a trial, a mock trial, a beating, several beatings that would lead to a cross, that would lead to drinking of a cup, if you will, that contained the sins of the world, that we might have forgiveness. Let's do as Jesus did and bless and be thankful for this bread. Our Father, we do give thanks today. And we ask that as we in our homes, wherever we find ourselves in this moment, as we hold forth this bread, we do it celebrating. We do it in worship and in awe of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. But then it's very, very clear that Jesus not only took this bread and held it forth, he not only blessed this bread, but it says he broke it. Interesting. Perhaps you have in your hands today a piece of French bread or sandwich bread. Maybe you've got a hard cracker in your hands like I do. That's what we need to remember, is the bread that was taken for the Passover was unleavened. It didn't have time to rise like a normal loaf of bread that we might have in our minds. Why? Because the Jews had to leave in a hurry. They had to be ready in a moment's notice to flee the wrath of Pharaoh as God delivered them. And so the reminder was, you didn't even have time to finish baking the bread, which made it look much like this, which also made it, in its breaking, you were able to hear it. You were able to remember the body of Christ beaten for you and me. So whether you have bread that you can tear or you can crush or that you can break, it doesn't matter. This bread is a reminder, as we hear it in its breaking, it reminds us of his love and his sacrifice for us. Jesus took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and then he gave it. This is the part that I miss most about not being gathered as a congregation in the big room today. Because in times past, up until just these recent months, we passed this bread. We gave it to one another. We hold it in our hands today. But keep in mind, as we receive this bread, this is a reminder as we take it and as we consume it. It is the body that Jesus, it's the life of Jesus, it's the sacrifice that Jesus gave willingly so that we might be set free. So as he instructed his friends that night, and as he instructs us every time we come to this table, remembering what he did for us, let us take and let us eat. Everything that we've used to describe the bread also applies to the cup. The symbol of his blood shed for us, just as the bread is the symbol of his body broken, nailed to a cross for us. And so we take the cup today and we remember his blood shed for us. Let us do what Jesus commanded us to do as we remember those very facts. God speaks and we respond. Once again, for most of us, well, I went to church today. I sat in the pew. I stood when I needed to stand. I opened the Bible. I heard the preacher. Now what? Well, as we gather around the Lord's table, all across this area, choices are before us. If you've yet to make Christ Lord of your life, I want to ask you to remember the bread and the cup talk about one thing, and that is Jesus, our Messiah. He gave his life for you and me. Following him is a choice. Always has been, always will be. Stepping across that line of faith. And for those of us scattered around in this area today, as we worship together, most of us, I would assume, are believers. But maybe today is the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, that you've really understood what these elements mean, how they change our lives. It's all about him.